Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek and I want you to listen to this special sound. Yes, the bell is ringing. Today is a special day. Today is the Feast of St. Andrew. We're going to talk more about that after the prayer, but let's begin, as we do each day, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. Father, please use us today in any way that you need us. Help us to bring your love to those around us, and help us to remember that you're always with us wherever we go. Father, we ask that you speak through us on the program today. May your words go forth over the airwaves and open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask this through the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. St. Andrew, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I am Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning. Want to let you know what's happening on the program today. Since it is Thursday, it's Pro-Life Thursday here on Spirit in the Morning, we're going to be joined by Catherine Zeltner, the host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. In addition, Mary DeTouris-Paust will be here. She is the communication director for the Diocese of Albany, New York. She's going to be talking a little bit about Advent. In addition, I want to mention one thing. Today is the Feast of St. Andrew. So if you are familiar with the St. Andrew Novena, that's a big novena for many of us. That begins today. If you're not familiar with the St. Andrew Novena, check out spiritinthemorning.com. I have a link there. I'll just say this about this novena. I have seen miraculous things happen because of this novena. It is not superstition. It's turning to the Lord and asking for the intercession of St. Andrew. Really, really cool thing. So I recommend you check it out. If you go to the link on spiritinthemorning.com, there's a little video from Father Joseph from EWTN explaining exactly what this novena is all about, and I invite you to give it a shot. Anyway, we are joined today, once again, by Dave Parker, back with us after some car troubles yesterday.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
It's
How
good
are
to
you?
See you, my friend.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Now, I want
see your shining, beaming face, and Frank's as well.
I want to get Frank's shining and beaming
wow.
face.
Yeah.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Yeah. It's good to see Mr. Parker back with us today.
It absolutely is.
So, Dave.
So, Gary.
What happened yesterday?
Well, okay. There I was. I was on my normal commute up, you know, from down around Fairless Hills in the Langhorne Mall, or the Oxford Deli Mall, and I stopped at one of my favorite morning places, 7-Eleven, to get some, you know, warm beverage.
You're obviously not a Philly guy, otherwise it would be Wawa all the way.
I do frequent them.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
But not on the morning commute, because that would take some extra time. Thanks, Frank. But anyway, so I went in, got it, and came out, and all, you know, as we all do, hey, I'm ready to go to work. Turn that key. Click, 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 click.
Oh, man.
Click. I said, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What a feeling.
But all of a sudden I said, well, I don't think I'm going to make it to work, which is so close, yet so far. A mile and a half, 2 miles max, right? And then I kind of went into, like, then I notified you guys, hey, guys, I'm having some car problems. Hey, well, I did, and thank you for mentioning Mark. You know, he was the Good Samaritan, the second Good Samaritan. I mean, I was, you know, kind of in a hurry. There was the first Good Samaritan was named John, and he had cables, and he tried, you know, jumping it, and it didn't work.
Wow.
So then I got back in the car, called AAA, waiting for them, and then this guy Mark came along, because there's a lot of foot traffic going in to get their warm beverages in the morning.
Yeah, we were predicting that you were sitting there talking to everybody that came in.
Well, I was just standing. Well, you know, I'm pretty loquacious.
How many cards did you pass out? Did you talk about the show?
I did talk
about it. I knew you did.
I did. I heard
it.
Anyways.
You're the best, Dave, I'll tell you.
And I said, hey, yeah, I'm trying to get to this station. It's like not too far from here. And we do a Catholic morning show. And I'm not going to make it, you know. But anyway, so Mark, you know, he had a charger kit. I mean, whatever the official name is. Put that baby on there, and it fired right up. And then that's when I said, well, I cannot go up to the station and turn it off.
Yeah.
So I went home. So thanks for your understanding. Oh. Thanks for your prayers and your well wishes. And I had a good friend of mine named Monica. I get a text saying, glad your car started. So thanks for that listener. Thanks, Monica, and others.
You were talking before the show about, what is the message that I'm trying to get? Maybe it's I have to have the battery before
winter. Okay. And this goes, maybe we can start a winter segment, Dave's, safety and preparation.
It might have been a different message.
Well, yeah. Make sure your battery is in good working order, especially in the cold.
No, I think Frank has a different
message. I think it's a different message.
What is that, Frank?
The Archdiocese of Philadelphia is auctioning off one of the Pope's fiats.
Oh, yeah.
And so the auction's being done now.
I've been looking from time to time for a new vehicle.
I know you have. And also, if you go to charitybuzz.com/papalfiat,
you can
actually bid on the Pope's fiat when he was in Philadelphia. He had two.
Okay.
One was already auctioned off. This is the second one.
Cool. Okay.
All proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, benefit the 2017 Catholic Charities Appeal. So
can I say
maybe
this?
That's your message.
Well, that's perfect.
Well, that's a perfect. Can I say no one else bid on that? Okay, let me. I need a car.
I was going to try to get Dale to.
Go right ahead, folks. I did read a little piece on that. I don't know. I got something, and it's for fundraising for the Archdiocese and others.
I do want to share one other thing.
You,
let me do the weather first, then I want to share one other thing because something – we had an interesting day here, Frank, as well. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 37 degrees. Today it's going to be mostly honey with a high near 55. Always thinking of my wife. Tonight, a chance of showers, mainly. Did you like the way I subtly put that in there? Tonight, a chance of showers,
smooth,
mainly before 10 p.m.
You're a hipster.
Otherwise, we'll get to that. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 43. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 53. At the present time, in WCOJ land, Coatesville, it's 31. In Riverton, New Jersey, it's 36 degrees, and in Bensalem, it is 36 degrees. Yeah, the Catholic hipster is coming here tomorrow.
That's right.
Tommy Tai is going to be joining us. I wanted to do a segment where we learned some hipster talk, but I didn't get time to it because you didn't show up yesterday,
Parker.
Oh,
man.
But we got to work on that, Frank. We got to get hip, so you're probably, out of the three of us, the hippest guy here.
Great.
Well, send me. Thanks.
So, Dave, we've got to get hip by tomorrow because the hipster's coming.
After this afternoon, we can email and we'll work on it. We'll talk.
If that's what you're believing, that I'm the hippest one here, we really have problems.
We have to get the hipster lingo down by tomorrow. So
I'm
so Tommy
disappointed.
Cool.
I thought you were. You're so cool, man.
He is. He is. He is hip. By the way, so yesterday, Dave, you're not here. Frank is sitting in your chair, and you're very high up in your chair. He noticed it for some reason, right?
Frank's I had to lower it.
Is that why it was?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
Now I know why. I always
wondered, could lower the mic, but I didn't.
I wondered why Monsignor always switched to this chair but used that mic. So he would actually move that chair into where there's really no room to move the chair and sit on this. I now know why.
Okay.
That's right. So
I will lower it, Monsignor.
Frank and I learned something, as
hereafter.
You did yesterday, and the fact is that we're not always in control. We think we're in control, and then things happen, and we recognize,
true.
All right, things are beyond our control. Frank and I experienced phone problems yesterday. Mm-hmm. We lost our second guest, Kate Wicker, two times.
Wow.
So if you were listening, I know you were listening, Dave. We were in the middle of a discussion, Kate and myself, about the changing role of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
We lost her, so I recruited Frank to continue the discussion.
Yeah, like,
so here you have me and Frank Eliason talking about motherhood. So no, somehow we pulled that off, I think.
Yeah.
But Kate is coming back on Monday to continue
thank
the discussion.
Thank God.
Yeah. But we fixed the phone problem.
Well, it was quite funny. The Comcast, to their credit, I know a lot of people have had issues with their cable company. I called them on Monday for something totally different. Literally get off the phone with them, and the phones went down right after that. Weird coincidence.
Wow.
So I call back, and we finally get it back up, and the guy's like, you have a problem. We're sending someone out tomorrow. So they had someone here yesterday. That was the first time we actually ever experienced issues in any recent time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, so the guy comes out yesterday, replaces the line.
Hmm.
And as he's cleaning it up, he brings in the wire and goes, I think I found your problem. There's about a half a foot where the whole wire is just frayed and gone. And it's all in splinters. It's like kind of the craziest looking thing. And so what basically was happening was the wire sits so close to the peak roof that I guess over the years rubs against it and wore it away. Yeah. And so eventually it was completely gone.
It wasn't the animals or the squirrels?
No, it was not.
So okay. We are back in business.
Thank you,
Comcast.
Thank you.
For fixing that. Before we run out of time, let's take a quick look at the gospel. Special gospel today for the feast of St. Andrew, who was one of the apostles. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him.
Wow.
Here's an example. Jesus meets us where we are in the workplace, right? He called these guys from their jobs. And they followed him immediately.
Absolutely.
That same invitation, two words, follow me, is directed to each of us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in a prime spot yesterday sitting in my car. And I was just sitting there like, what am I going to do? And I said, Lord, okay.
Yeah.
This is happening for a reason other than the practical fact about the battery.
Right.
You know? But I mean, it gave me a time. I mean, I started praying.
Isn't that fun?
I just said, oh, okay. Wow, I'm not going to do the show today. How weird is this, you know?
Right,
I'm getting pumped, and you know?
Yeah.
And how am I going to use this time?
That was a great thing to do. And I think we all have those moments throughout the day, whether we're stuck in traffic or whether we're dealing with somebody who's driving us crazy at work. Or
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I would say the old Dave.
You know, you shouldn't talk about Dave like that.
the older form of Dave might have not been so kind and... I mean, like, rah, 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 you know, because I want to get there, you know. And when I was in my, working, and I'm frustrated, you know, because what's frustration? We have a goal, and we want to get there, and when it doesn't happen, you know, wow. And sometimes it would have a negative reaction more than a positive, right?
And this is perfect because in a couple of days, we are entering into the season of Advent. And Advent is all about waiting. We don't like to wait. We're in a hurry. We've got things to do, you know, and it's difficult when sometimes things happen and we have to wait.
Yeah. It was a message.
There you go. When we come back, Catherine Zeltner, we're going to be talking about EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Stay tuned.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 30th. Today we celebrate Saint Andrew. The Gospels give us little information about today's saint. We know that he was the brother of Peter, and that the two of them, both fishermen, left their nets behind to follow Jesus. We learn that from Matthew's account. In John's Gospel, we learn that before the multiplication of the loaves, it was Andrew who spoke up about the boy who had the barley loaves and fishes. Today's saint seems to have been something of a leader among the apostles. His name is regularly given prominence among them. Legend has it that Andrew preached the good news in what is now Greece and Turkey, and that he was crucified in Greece. There are some accounts of his death on an X-shaped cross, now known as St. Andrew's Cross. While we know little about the holiness of Andrew, Peter and John tend to fare best among the followers of Jesus. It is enough to know that he was an apostle. He was called personally by Jesus to proclaim the good news, to heal with Jesus' power, and to share his life and death. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215 215- 805-8433.
It's a good morning spelled with a Z. You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Gold by Britt Nicole. The time right now is 7:18. Well, every Thursday on the program, we dedicate the first interview segment to the pro-life movement. And today we are joined by Catherine Zeltner, the host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. And the program airs not only on EWTN television, but we broadcast it here on Holy Spirit Radio at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So you can, in addition to watching it, you can listen to it right here on Holy Spirit Radio. Hey, Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's so good to speak with you.
You know, it's so good to speak with you, too. We really appreciate you joining us on the show. I know how busy you are, and the fact that you make time for us, we're very grateful for that.
It's an honor to be on.
Thanks, Catherine. So what do we have going on this week, specifically on EWTN Pro-Life Weekly?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, a big focus of this week's show has to do with conscience protection.
Mm.
And it's been a topic we've been speaking about pretty frequently, especially the past few weeks. But it's becoming even more urgent for our viewers to be paying attention to and our listeners to be paying attention to, because there is an upcoming deadline for the Conscience Protection Act. And just a little bit more about that. So the Conscience Protection Act would protect healthcare workers and others from being forced to participate in something that they find goes against their conscience.
Mm.
So, for example, abortion. And there have been instances where healthcare workers have been discriminated against and told, no, you either have to participate in this abortion or, you know, or being trained in learning about an abortion or lose your job.
Wow.
There have been instances,
wow.
Which is shocking
yeah.
in America.
Yeah, it really is.
So this piece of legislation would protect healthcare workers from that discrimination, but we're asking Congress to include this in the upcoming appropriations bill,
mm-hmm.
and at this point, the deadline is next week. So we really need viewers to be paying attention to this and asking them to take action at prolifeweekly.com. That's prolifeweekly.com, so they can send their message to Congress.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com just to make
sure. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, we profiled three nurses who are examples of being conscience victims. So you can tune in and hear that story, their stories. We also have an interview with Archbishop Joseph Nauman,
mm-hmm.
Who is of the Archdiocese of Kansas City and was recently appointed and elected the next chair of the Pro-Life Committee for the U.S. Bishops. So he's a great pro-life leader in our nation. And we get to hear about, you know, what does he think are the top priorities for pro-lifers in the U.S. and hear more about his pro-life backgrounds as well.
And many people were very excited about the appointment of Archbishop Nauman.
Yes, yes. And it was, you know, probably one of the most noteworthy things that happened from the U.S. Bishops General Assembly mm-hmm. earlier this month. And the thing that I think got a lot of attention, too, is that he's the first non-cardinal to get this position in nearly 40 years. I think 1980,
wow.
you know, was something like the last time. So, but he accredited to, he has just been so involved in the pro-life movement for years and years. And if you look at, you know, his history as, you know, even as a priest, he's, mm-hmm. this has been an issue he's been just really passionately involved in. So it makes sense. The appointment makes sense.
Absolutely. Anything else going on? Any other big stories?
We do have an interview with Congressman Robert Pittenger, and this
okay.
is interesting. So it's Congressman Pittenger sponsored this new piece of legislation called the No Abortion Bonds Act. Now, it has to do with tax code, which to me, I just don't know anything. You know, tax code, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to that. That's just
right.
kind of overwhelming to me. But there is actually a loophole in tax code that is pretty shocking. It allows, you know, this credit to go towards abortion providers to build clinics. So there have been examples of basically this money, this credit, going towards even huge Planned Parenthood clinics, which many Americans, I don't think, know about that their dollars are going towards the construction of abortion clinics. So this bill would stop that, would prevent that. So we speak to this Congressman Pittenger about his bill and just hear about instances where this has happened. So once again, I know tax code, like it seems, you know, I know for me, that's not something I typically pay attention to.
Exactly.
And yet there are more pro-life opportunities even within those pieces of legislation.
Wow, that's really good that we know about that, because you're right. Typically, I hear tax code and I zone out. That's not something that I wouldn't be focused
right.
on. Catherine, I have to ask you, you've been doing this show for a while now. How has your, you're exposed to a lot of people who are involved in the pro-life movement. How do you feel about, you know, our status right now? Are we winning this battle?
You know, I think when it comes to, I think we are continuing to change hearts and minds
yeah.
in the U.S. I feel incredibly optimistic
wow.
about that. When it comes to legislative issues, it's something we need to continue to stay on top of.
Right.
There is just so much gridlock. And it's, you know, we have to be paying attention to our culture, and we have to be paying attention to our politics as well. So
yeah.
it's, you know, we need both. But when it comes to the hearts and minds of Americans, I think there are just a lot of opportunity. A lot of many millennials, most millennials, you know, are pro-life. And I think that's because we are the ultrasound generation.
Mm.
You know, the science behind it is undeniable. I think one key is, though, how do we discuss these issues? How do we dialogue about these issues? And I think there's a lot of opportunity, even when it comes to women empowerment, because it is empowering for women to be pro-life, right? Isn't that something where we can have that kind of that common ground? So whenever we hear about this, these issues of women empowerment, for example, I think that's an opportunity for, you know, women, especially in the pro-life movement, to be saying, you know what? I agree with you. Here's why. Here's, you know, when there is a woman in an unexpected pregnancy, let's support her. Mm. Let's tell her, you can do this. I'll be here for you.
Right.
Here's how we'll help. And you can raise that child and have a great job and, you know, live a beautiful, fulfilling life. Isn't that more empowering than saying, you know what? Yeah, no, you can't do it.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of opportunity, but let's, you know, look for those opportunities in dialogue and even in national conversations.
That's so critical, and I'm glad you brought that up. And for the most part, everything I hear from those involved in the pro-life movement, everybody seems to be encouraged. This is, we are changing minds and hearts. But what you said is so important about dialoguing and the way we present this. I mean, if we go around and all we do is point fingers and say, abortion is wrong, it's a sin, you're going to hell, you're not going to win over anybody by doing that.
Right.
The way we dialogue is so important.
And aren't we pro-life because we love one another and we want the best for one another?
Right.
You know, for our brothers and sisters who might be, you know, confused when it comes to the topic of abortion and might be proponents of it, let us love them and show them, you know what, you've been deceived. Let's tell you the truth when it comes to what Planned Parenthood's business is about.
Right.
Let's tell you the truth about the unborn in the womb. And I love that that's what the March for Life theme is this upcoming year. You know, love saves lives. It is about love.
That's right. And we're getting close to that time of year, the March for Life. Hard to believe, but it's, you know, not that long from now.
I know. Absolutely. It's just right around the corner in January.
So before we let you go, you know, somebody might be listening to the program. I know this happens a lot, saying, what can I do personally?
Mm-hmm.
The pro-life movement, I'm just one person. What can I do? What advice would you have for that person?
You know, three things come to mind. Number one, prayer, the power of prayer. We can't even see the fruit that comes from it, but pray. Even if you don't see the fruit, pray for our culture, just that it becomes a culture of life.
Mm-hmm.
Two, look for those opportunities in conversations to dialogue about this in a loving way, whether that's online and social media or whether that's face-to-face with your neighbor. And three, a tangible thing that you can do right now is go to prolifeweekly.com. And each week we put up our call to action there and we tell you a tangible way to be involved. I know there are a lot of pro-lifers who do want to do something and, you know, be active at a local level. This is how you can do that. Go to prolifeweekly.com. We share that with your friends and neighbors. This week on the website, we are encouraging you to send a message to Congress to tell them to pass the Conscience Protection Act. That is what pro-life leaders are focused on right now. So please take that action. And it's so simple. You know, all you do is type in your first name, your last name, and your email address, and then click Add My Name. That's all it is. So
great.
I encourage you all to do.
And Catherine, we're going to put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com. As I said, hey, thanks again for joining us. God bless you for all the work that you do.
God bless you, Gary.
All right, see you later. Catherine Zeltner from EWTN Pro Life Weekly. When we come back, Mary DeTouris Pouse. We're going to be talking Advent.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pope Francis has arrived in Bangladesh for the second leg of his 6-day trip to Asia amid tight airport security. Huge banners with pictures of the Pope and the Prime Minister of Bangladesh have been put up around the city, and St. Mary's Cathedral is decorated with lights in preparation for his 3-day trip to the Muslim-majority nation starting today. Yesterday, the Pope celebrated Mass with the young people in the Yangon Cathedral. He also met with a Buddhist delegation and the Catholic bishops of Myanmar. President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has been questioned by special counsel Robert Mueller's team of investigators about former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. That's according to a person familiar with the investigation who spoke last night on condition of anonymity. Confirmation of Kushner's interview comes as prosecutors working with Mueller postponed grand jury testimony related to Flynn. And Matt Lauer's firing as host of NBC's Today Show makes him the biggest media figure brought down by sexual misconduct allegations since Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes lost their lofty positions at Fox News Channel. NBC announced Lauer's termination yesterday after one woman came forward, and quickly, more women followed with other stories. Also yesterday, in the wake of the Lauer news, Minnesota Public Radio announced that they were cutting ties with Garrison Keillor, the creator and former host of the popular Prairie Home Companion program, which is now hosted by musician Chris Thiele. A new statement from Keillor, though, has raised questions about the extent of the allegations that he behaved improperly. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I want to tell you today about a very special thrift store located in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mary's Thrift Store was dedicated to our Blessed Mother on its opening day, May 13, 2017, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. Mary's Thrift Store is located at the Wedgwood Shopping Center at 4327 West Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. All proceeds benefit the St. Joseph's House, a charitable nonprofit in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to serve families and children in need. Come shop in this well-stocked store of quality merchandise that will bless you and your budget from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also check out the mission of St. Joseph's House by visiting www.sjhouse.org.
Tipping our coffee mugs in a salute to a God-centered day, you're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Off my lungs.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Live It Well by Switchfoot. The time right now is 7:35. Well, Advent is just a few days away, so I thought it would be a good idea to start to get ready to get ready. Of course, Advent's a season of preparation, but sometimes it just gets away from us because we get so busy. So while we have a few days, I thought it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about how we can get ready to welcome the Lord during the Advent season. We're joined now by Mary DeTouris-Pouse. She is an author. She's a speaker. She's the director of communications for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany, New York. You can find her online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. And she joins us now. We're going to talk about Advent. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited to talk about Advent because I know you have some ideas about how we can get ready. You know, a lot of Advent has to do with waiting, but we're not very good at waiting, are we?
No, I'm the worst at waiting.
Are you? It's tough, isn't it?
You know, we live in a world, especially now, I think, faster and faster. Everything moves faster and faster, and we're used to just getting what we want when we want it on our phone, on our laptop, wherever, on Amazon. And I think that this kind of calls us to it really is a countercultural kind of way of looking at things and forcing us to slow down. And, you know, we see it, we get frustrated. We go into a store before Thanksgiving has even gotten here and there's Christmas decorations everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So the world pushes us toward the actual feast, you know, the celebration of Christmas long before we're supposed to be there. So it really is, for me, a reminder every year to kind of pull back and learn to find the beauty in that waiting time, that sort of pregnant pause before Christmas.
So what do we do from a practical point of view? What do I do? Do you have some steps that you could share with us? How do I learn how to wait patiently during this Advent season? Because, you know, come Monday, I'm going to be running around getting gifts, getting prepared. People are baking. How do we learn to be more patient during Advent?
I think that we really do have to take time in prayer every single day. And I say that as somebody who often will be looking at my watch saying, oh, you know, I don't have 10 minutes, which is not true. That's not true.
But I know what you mean.
You know, to really make a concerted effort and to not just sort of say a prayers and maybe go through it quickly, but to sit in silence and sort of just put ourselves in the presence of God, which is instruction I had been given over the summer by a very wise Trappist monk when I was on a retreat. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, I want you to sit in the presence of God every night. And he said, not just praying, not just reading, but sitting and listening. And I think Advent is a really good time to remember that we need to listen for that still small voice. But then we can do practical things because Advent, of course, has lots of beautiful traditions that we can weave into it, like the Advent wreath, or if you do a Jesse tree, or if your parish does special prayer services and things for Advent, maybe going to Mass during the week when you might not ordinarily do it, layering in something extra to help us get more into that connection with God, bring us closer to God.
And then we have to remember that He's going to do something in return. I think that's the problem with a lot of doers, and I know I struggle with this. It's all up to me. I've got to get the right words. I have to find the right novena. I have to keep praying. You know, I still got 8 more minutes out of my 10 minutes. I need to keep going, forgetting that the Lord's also communicating with us during the process.
Right, and maybe not even during that process, but then throughout the day, through other people who come into our lives. Maybe not even people we want to come into.
Well, that's
our
what
lives.
I was thinking. Maybe those people who are disrupting my prayer time. How about that? You know, like, I'm busy right now, family. Come on.
Exactly. Right? Or that person at work or somewhere that you're just like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. And maybe there is a lesson in that. I wrote a column just past month for Catholic New York, and I write for them every month, and we talked about everything is blessing. And I said I was saying that as much for everyone, for myself as for everyone else, to see where those things, those moments that we really don't want to face or deal with, what is God trying to do with us in that moment? And maybe Advent, you know, looking at Mary and looking at Joseph and the moments they were given that they did not want, probably, that they did not want to have to face, maybe, or didn't understand. We often look at them, and of course, they're way up here because they said yes, and they and it's amazing to us, and yet we can look and see that Mary was deeply troubled, and we can see that Joseph is struggling. So they struggled with these things and said yes anyway, and how can we look to them maybe during Advent as that example of real people who faced unbelievable challenges and still said yes and found the grace in those moments.
You know, that's a really good point. I think about Mary and Joseph sometime, and a lot of times, and if it was me going through that, I would say to the Lord, hey, wait a minute, Lord, you have to understand, I've got plans. I'm getting married, you know. This is the way it's supposed to be. You're ruining my plans. But they said yes.
Right.
Right? And that's something I think I could get much better at that.
I could get much better at it, and even with the small thing. Like, I'm annoyed with God when, like, he ruins my plans by having a traffic jam on a Monday. You know, it's like, it doesn't take much to get me. God, I'm sure, is like, is she back again with the whining? But to see those moments and to just kind of, even if we're driving in the car, even if we're waiting for our kids to come out of school,
Yeah. Maybe
to find that place and say, I can find God here, too. It's not just in my prayer time. And maybe using Advent with all of its pressures to get things done and have parties and wrap presents and shop and cook, to find that time within the activities themselves to keep coming back to what is this, why are we doing this?
Right.
And it's not just to have a party, and it's not just to have a Christmas tree. And it's hard because our culture, the culture around us tells us something else. So we're constantly working sort of against what the outside world tells us.
You know, it's interesting. I know of very few people, including people daily, weekly mass goers and my Catholic friends, who prepare to welcome Christ more deeply into their hearts during Advent. Everybody's preparing for Christmas, but I find very few people, and I struggle with this too. It's easy to embrace Lent, the season of Lent. Lent is one of those seasons where it's pretty obvious what we're supposed to do. Advent's not quite as easy, is it?
No, it's not. I wrote a book for this Advent called Waiting in Joyful Hope, a book of reflections. And when they first asked me to do that, I was like, you know, I'm really more of a Lent person. And I had done a Lenten book because
Yeah. There's
something about Lent. I like the starkness of it. And
Yeah. The
desert is so obvious, like where we need to go. We need to strip down. We need to get back to the basics and really focus on certain things. And Advent, it sort of seems like it's a party. It's like, you know,
exactly.
And I'm a little bit more like, no, I need to be in the silent, stripped down desert to be spiritual. So Advent's a little bit different, and yet there is sort of that experience of we're not just preparing for the coming of Jesus on Christmas, we're preparing for the coming of Jesus again. And so there's both these dual paths kind of going along in Advent that do provide us with this very deep and beautiful kind of spirituality when we're reading through Scripture. And I think it can bring us back to a sort of an interior desert, that we have to kind of go to this place within ourselves, which may be more challenging, again, because the rest of the world is not in that place.
Right.
The altar is not draped in somber things. You know, it's a very more festive season, and so it requires like almost a changing of perspective to see the interior desert, I think, and kind of be willing to go into that place within ourselves.
We recently had a guest on the program, Megan Coakley, who is the director of the Office of New Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and she said something really interesting. She said during Advent, she likes to give something up, similar to what she does in Lent, so that when Christmas comes around, she can really celebrate. And I thought that was a really cool idea. A lot of people don't think of Advent as a time to maybe give up a little something.
Right, and I think that is a great idea. And I think I was even thinking for myself, could I manage to, say, cut back on the technology, which for me, both personally and for my job, requires me to be there, but it doesn't require me to be there as much as I am.
Right, so, right.
Can I, like, let go of that a little bit and find more of that time? Can I do something for someone else? Because, again, I think so much of our understanding our own blessings, understanding, seeing our own life in connection to others has to come from also serving others. And so doing something, again, we might do that more in Lent, look for service opportunities, go serve in a soup kitchen, like you're saying, have a soup supper,
right.
Give things up and donate the money. We don't tend to have those practices in Advent, and I think it is a good idea to say maybe this can be a time we do something special, something extra, or give something up that helps us, reminds us in a more physical way that we are in a preparation for something special.
Absolutely. Mary, I really want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Where can our listeners find out more about you online?
They can find me at my website, which is notstrictlyspiritual.com. And I have many books on Catholic spirituality, and I write for Catholic New York, but that's usually posted on my website as well.
Excellent. So I'm going to have a link to that at spiritinthemorning.com. I hope you'll come back on with us. I really enjoyed our discussion.
I would love to. Thank you.
All right, Mary. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a blessed Advent.
You too.
All right. Thank you. That was Mary DeTouris Paust. Dave.
Wow.
That was really good.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, can I say something? Well, no, go, you
sure
finish.
Can. No, go right ahead.
I was going to say, I love her interior spirituality.
Yeah.
And she mentioned Trappist. A big influence on me was Thomas Merton. Trappist monk.
Yes.
So I don't know if she's still listening, you know, like on computer or whatever, or tune in. Yes. I mean, I bet you that she was influenced by Merton and others in that. She went to a Trappist monastery as a retreat. Guess what? I've been thinking about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so glad to have her on the program. Hey, when we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Actor Hugh Jackman brings a spiritual dimension to every job he does. As reported by Parade magazine, he was raised in a religious Christian family and still describes himself as a religious person. He recalled the movie Chariots of Fire, when the runner Eric Liddell says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Jackman said, "I feel that pleasure when I act and it's going well, particularly on stage. So before I go on stage every night, I pause and dedicate the performance to God in the sense of saying, allow me to surrender." When you allow yourself to surrender to the story, to the character, to the night, and to the audience, transcendence happens. And when that happens, there is nothing like it on the planet. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
You're the
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Every Good Thing by the Afters. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks for listening to the show today. It's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And today we look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. What this verse is all about is recognition of what the Lord has done. This is coming from the Israelites, but in our lives. I mean, this is important for us. We get so stressed out about the future, about what the future holds, about what might happen to us. But what I recommend, and this is something that I have learned to force myself to do, is look back over your life and try to think about all the times that the Lord has come through for you and helped you. He's done that in my life, and I'm sure if you think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, you're going to realize, hey, He has been there for me so many times in the past. He will be there for me in the future. So,
yeah.
Right, David?
Yes. Muchas times for me.
But forget that, Frank, because we're on to the next problem.
That's right. Exactly. We want to concentrate on all the bad things going on. And, like, you know, and we even forget to thank Him.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Which is, like, we've talked about yesterday and a few other times. You know, but ultimately, you know, there's a lot of good that does happen in your life, even in the darkest of circumstances. What are they? You know, find them. And sometimes it takes really sitting back and thinking deeply about that, because it's sometimes not easy to see.
Yep, it's certainly true. Before we go, I want to remind you, tomorrow on the program, Jeannie Ewing, the author of From Grief to Grace, will be here, as well as the Catholic hipster, Tommy Tai. Okay,
wow.
Check this out. It's going to be totes amazeballs. That's hipster talk, boys.
Wow.
See,
wow.
I've been practicing.
So, wow. You know, actually, I found out.
Where's that book?
So, I'm going to be hip, brother.
All right.
When you came into the studio today, you had a sign sitting here for you. The hipster Santa drinks coconut milk and eats gluten-free cookies.
All right. I love it.
And who, pray tell, put that there?
That actually, well, got placed here by Carolyn, but Robin is the one who found this sign.
Well, thank
I found
you.
This
so
out
cool.
During this.
Carolyn and Robin, thank you. I love that look that Santa's got. He's got the shades on, got the hand in the pocket there. So,
yeah, really.
I want you guys to know I'm going to be practicing to be really hip.
Okay.
So Tommy Tai is impressed with me. So I'm
I have my
you
work
guys
cut out.
Practice,
I mean, I was
too.
A little distracted with car issues. Yesterday, but I will come in prepared.
But you know,
tomorrow.
We should really probably try and pay attention to the real hipster out there,
and that is,
well, give you a little hint.
Right.
So you know, one of the things is, yeah, you like how that transition statement. You know, one of the things about you know, right now there's a lot of discussion of tweets and all this other stuff, and I, you know what, there's positives out there in the
yes.
in the, that world. Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
And the reason I call him a hipster, it's kind of interesting. The love of Christ is like a spiritual GPS that guides us unerringly toward... Oh, I just clicked on the wrong thing. Unerringly towards God and towards the heart of our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Spiritual GPS.
Boy, he always finds a way
like,
to
that's
to
kind
get
of cool
attention.
That he would
it
even
is.
Say that. Like, you know, and for those that don't know what GPS is, that's what guides where you're at in places. So
global
phone,
positioning system.
That is correct. Yeah. So he's kind of hip and even... guiding from spiritual GPS. Wow.
And you know what's interesting about that? We who use GPSs, we pretty much go along with what the GPS tells us. Turn mm-hmm. here, turn here, even if we don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
But when the Lord tries to tell us what to do, give us an idea, it's like, oh, no, Lord, I can't do that, right? So,
hey, I just had an inspiration. Maybe we can devise a Holy Spirit radio GPS with the voice of Pope Francis. Like right now it's a British or an Australian woman on many of them. And we can say, well, Frank, you're a genius
yeah,
at this
no.
stuff.
That's a great idea, Dave. Let us know when that's ready.
I'll get right on it.
You
oh,
talk
come
to
on,
the,
guys.
You could talk to the Vatican about you know, scheduling about 10 hours
can
with,
I get his permission?
With the Pope to actually record the stuff that's necessary to do that.
Well,
let us know how it goes.
I would say he's so hip, he doesn't he tweet? Did you get that?
He
from
does
a,
tweet.
From
yes,
a,
that
from
was a tweet.
Yeah.
That was actually a tweet. So like, you want some positive things to follow on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Pope Francis always has... Every day has something that is inspiring, and you know it's not always what you expect. I
that's
think
exactly
that's,
right.
That's what I liked about
and
it.
He shakes me up all the time because I, you know, you think you tend to be comfortable. I'm a pretty good Catholic. I'm doing a good job. Yeah. Then the Pope hits you with some of these tweets. You think, oh, man, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I need to get to work. Frank, you have
a note about some special programming coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, well, so we mentioned it yesterday. I'm going to mention it again today. You know, and we'll rebroadcast it if you're not available at this time at some point, but I have to figure out that all out. But we're going to be at Immaculata University, I guess
yes,
it is. Immaculata University. For their Carol Night tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We did it last year. It was actually the second remote that we actually ever did, like, you know, in terms of with the modern equipment. So we were still figuring it out last year, but we have a pretty good handle on it at this point. And so looking forward to doing that. We're going to, you know, they do it in the Rotunda, and it was interesting. It's just I sat there for it last year, and, you know, the sound, the way it carries in that building because of the rotunda, it just goes up and is really neat. So one of the things is this year we're going to actually put mics towards the top that actually gather that sound as it's coming up. So it should give a very powerful thing to listen to. So that's going to be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And as I said, we will re-air it at some point. It's just more of a question of when. I have to see how long it winds up being and any edits that need to be done.
One thing I want to ask you as a listener of Holy Spirit Radio, if you could do us a favor, obviously you're listening to this station. Let people know about Holy Spirit Radio, because a lot of people don't know about what we do here at the station.
Even devout Catholics.
Exactly. You know, I'm been talking to a lot of people about, and I know, Dave, you do as well, about the station, and people will say, oh, there's a Catholic radio station?
Right? Help so spread the word.
Help spread the word. So that would really be a big help. Dave, you want to say one thing before we go?
I want to thank some other – many good Samaritans came up to me, not with cables yesterday, but they wanted to help. And there was a guy, Steve, I see him. He frequents 7-Eleven often, and basically I saw him this morning. And I said, well, you know, I was en route to do a morning show at the station up here, Holy Spirit Radio. He goes, oh, isn't that the old, you know, WBUX? I said, that's it. I said, you know, 1570, listen to us, you know. But thank you, Steve, for your caring and all those who were caring for me yesterday.
You better believe it. Thanks again for listening to us on Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating